welcome to Fortune Cookie, the podcast that dives into Chinese and Western culture. My name is Beatrice, also known as Xin Mei.
My name is Tina Chow, and students call me Zhao Lao Shi. Lao Shi is teacher in Chinese. So today, our topic is gender norms.
Yeah, and that's a very, in a way, sensitive, but also very interesting topic.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right, Lao Shi, and so do you have any takes on gender norms, especially being in Taiwan, and then now you're in the U.S.?
Something I want to point out today will be a very controversial policy back in China. It's called one-child policy. I'm sure many of you have heard about it. Xin Mei, have you heard about it?
Yes, Lao Shi, I have heard about it, but I haven't heard about it for a while. So you want to refresh my memory about what that is about?
Sure. Okay. So in Chinese, we call it as 重男轻女. Okay. And the word by word is basically favor males and over females.
So, okay.
So this policy was back in 1979 and it ended in 2015.
That's not even that long ago.
It's not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Yes. So actually, if you notice that a lot of your classmates or friends, if they are from China, they probably don't have any siblings. And it's probably also because of that one child policy and also people just favor males over females.
Yes, this policy exists in China, but I feel like even without this policy, it would have still been a societal thing in the Chinese culture. And it is even a thing in the Western culture.
Right. It is. So some stories I would like to share about this 重男轻女 topic is because of that policy. So some sad stories actually happened back then. So let's say the reason why there is a 重男轻女 thing is because back then in China, they want people, they need labor work for their field. They are all farmers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they need people to work in the field. So of course they will favor guys because guys...
quote unquote, more muscles, all that stuff.
Right. So that's kind of understandable. However, I don't think this is understandable. What they would do is because of the policy as well, and also of course the notion of 重男轻女, which is favor males over female.
Yeah.
They would do is if they have a baby girl and due to the policy, they cannot keep the baby, right? So I've heard some stories like they would, if they have a water tank in their house,
oh my God,
they would just basically drown the baby.
Oh my God.
Or some people, maybe nicer, they would just leave a note and put the baby at the bridge or something. And maybe luckily the baby will survive. Somebody saw the baby, will take the baby to the orphanage.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Just
so there really, were still orphanages.
They are. And actually, many of the U.S., well, the people in the U.S. like to adopt Chinese children, right?
Yeah.
And many of them are girls. You know why?
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Right. So it's all related back to this policy and all this 重男轻女 notion in Chinese culture as well.
Wow.
So you never know what happened to this, maybe this adopted girl in the U.S. But yeah, that's one of the stories that I would like to share. And actually, can I add another one?
Yeah. What is it?
Another one is even just my personal experience with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So in my family, my mom's family, like a previous generation, not my generation anymore.
Yeah.
So in their generation, they're still favor the guys over females. Mm-hmm. So like my mother had to take care of the family and she basically have to cook, has to take care of the younger brother and younger sister. Oh, back to this, because my family is from Taiwan, so we don't have this one child policy. So my mom has a lot of siblings.
Mm-hmm. Like brothers.
Yeah, brothers and sisters. So she had to take care of them and she do a lot of things. But then in the end, when they're eating, maybe my grandmother would say, give the meat to your brothers.
Uh-huh.
You just eat maybe the rice, maybe the vegetables, but not the meat or the eggs.
Because you know, that's what gives you
the muscle. More expensive things, but still give it to the boys.
Yep, the better food.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's insane. And it's not that it's just in the Chinese culture either, because you can even see it in the Western culture.
Right.
Obviously in historical, you know, records, and even something that has to do with the naval cannon fire, which is when this is around the time of World War One.
Yeah.
And I read about how at that time, when let's say it was a boy's birthday compared to a girl's birthday, they would fire the cannon.
Oh.
And, yeah, and fire the cannon. And so the cannon fires for the boys would be like 300 fires.
Uh-huh.
And for the females, it would be 101.
Wow.
101 is a cool number. I think it's a
yeah,
cool
Taipei
number.
Yeah, Taipei 101.
Yeah, Taipei 101. 101. But yeah. even so, Laoshi, right? It's you can tell even by historical records in Western culture that even that was a thing where they valued
yes.
the males over the females.
Yes, I agree on that, Xinmei. And that is also something, I think, how the society was formed.
Yeah, by, nowadays.
Mm-hmm, was formed by manpower, basically.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And but luckily, I think the Western culture is more proactive in feminism. So
very proactive.
So many things changed, which is good for women like both of us.
Yeah.
We are women, and mm-hmm. that's why we get education, we get mm-hmm. all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any terms or vocabulary in English
mm-hmm.
had something that if you just say it and you know that has a favoring men over women.
Oh, yeah. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. In English?
Yeah.
Yes. There's something when I even just looking at, you know, life and all the words that we use in day to day, words such as humankind.
Right.
It has a human, a human. The word has the man.
M-A-N.
In it. Yeah.
Right.
M-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
And also words for important people in society, like fireman,
mm-hmm.
policeman.
Right, right, right.
All these terms that is just thrown out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's starting to change where they would say, you know, firewoman or policewoman.
Right.
Or even the word history, which is just, it's a noun.
Right.
It's a noun, but even that word has the word H-I-S, like his story, the story
right.
of him.
Not hers.
Not hers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that reminds me of chairman, right?
So yeah.
Like the head of
a board.
A board, right? A committee, and it's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
That's interesting. So I have something that I would like to share with you, Xinmei, is...
Yes.
In Chinese character, if you remember back to your first lesson, well, first couple lesson in
my
Chinese,
whole life
in
when I'm
writing characters,
yeah.
there's a character that is very simple. We can also introduce to our audience. Mm-hmm. It's
yes.
how.
How.
How means?
Good.
How means good. Okay. Why is it good? Do you know?
No, I
okay.
actually don't.
Remember what's on the left side in this character.
Oh, yes. It's the... So this character is made out of two components, and
right.
the one on the left is woman,
and then the right,
and then the one on the right is son or child,
son, basically baby mm-hmm. boy.
Yes.
Yeah. So this character actually means if a woman
mm-hmm.
can give birth
to a
child, which is
a son,
then it means you're a good woman. So this character is good.
Means good. And that's the reason why it means good.
Yeah, and then that's so obvious, you know.
I never thought to think about that. Like, never, ever. But when you break it down, that's crazy.
Right. So that is basically the story mm-hmm. of that character.
Yeah, and I feel like in Chinese culture, it has... A lot of characters have this kind of background to... Because Chinese characters came from, like, a drawing originally, right?
Pictographic, basically.
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of them are pictographic mm-hmm. or by sound as mm-hmm. well. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But in the English language is from the Latin. Mm-hmm. It's Latin-based, so it's
right.
different.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But even with roles like this in society where it's even rooted in the language that we use, even so, we can even see it how it's evolving. Now it's not just past women and not just, it's not just women and men. Right. Now they're looking into
more.
Now
something that is very, for me is, I come from Chinese culture. Mm-hmm. So for me, that is something a little bit harder to
grasp.
Yeah.
And understand.
To understand.
Yeah. For me, coming from Hong Kong, not that it has anything to do with Hong Kong, but I think it's my upbringing as a child with my mom and then, you know, growing up with that culture.
Right.
My mom has been very open to the concept of, you know, the LGBTQIA plus community, which includes, you know, lesbians, gay, queer, and androgynous, like different sexualities.
Right.
But when you look at the Chinese culture, just Asia in general,
it's just black and white, basically.
Right, like,
male and female, right?
Yeah, and you don't see... And when there's one maybe article that pops up about, oh, possibility of blah, 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 it's, it becomes a huge, huge thing. Whereas here, it's celebrated. You know, if the celebrity comes out and says, oh...
I am.
Yeah, and then they're like, clap, and everyone's celebrating, and then they highlight that, but... It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Do you think it's encouraged in the U.S. for that kind of culture, Xinmei?
Lush, I think it's not that it's encouraged or discouraged. I think it's they're opening up, at least in the Western culture, in America, they're opening up a new understanding
of
sexuality.
Right.
Yeah, and even in, I believe it's because in American culture or Western culture, it's talking about things like just sex, like stuff like that, which is a little bit uncomfortable maybe within the Chinese culture.
Yes.
It's so
that's
open.
That's true, Xinmei.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's less open and people just don't talk about sex openly in Chinese culture.
They don't.
Some people would feel very offended if you do it in public. So I think that's something we want to share with our audience as well.
Yeah.
If you are in a, I would just say Asian culture overall.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And if you are in a gathering with females and males, most of the time the guys are pretty okay. But some girls might be offended.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They get very shy and, you know, weird. But when I think about it, when I was going to school in Hong Kong, you know how kids just, being kids, you like to joke around and just have fun. Kids, when I was in, I want to say, high school level, that was something that people would joke about openly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is true, Xinmei. I would say even when I was growing up, middle school, high school time, I think that's because that's the time for teenagers are exploring, right?
Yeah.
So people do that. However, I'm saying more like in a work setting, in a
family.
Maybe
friendship.
Adult social setting, I'll say. Mm. That's something...
Yeah,
but if you already know your friends very well, of course, feel free to talk about it. But I'm just saying, if you are in a new setting, in let's say you just go into a new company and it's Asian owned, and of course you want to be careful with their culture, not to do something
crack
wrong,
any jokes.
Right?
Yeah,
Xinmei, correct.
Well, one topic that definitely is still very controversial anywhere, I feel, is same-sex marriage, 老师.
Right, Xinmei.
Mm-hmm. Because I am from Hong Kong, and I and then Hong Kong doesn't support same-sex. Like, that's not legal over there.
Oh.
And it's definitely not legal in China.
Right,
Do you know anything more about this? I mean, even in America,
Not every state.
Not every state, but there is the direction of moving towards the supporting side.
Right.
Even despite that, there's just so much on this topic.
I agree on that, Xinmei. Well, I can only share with my limited knowledge about Taiwan is Taiwan has always been very supportive to, well, I cannot say always, has been recent years. I think starting from 2012, they've started to trying to make it legal. So this move has been going on for a while. And surprisingly, I thought because I've heard a lot of people are against it. So I thought it would not pass. I thought it's only the young generations are supporting them.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, I actually read from news and it says it's actually going to pass and it's actually going to be legal this year, 2019, on May 24th, I think. May 24th. This May, anyway. So coming up. So it's going to be the first country in Asia that have the legal same-sex marriage.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yes.
That's crazy. And did you read that on the news from, was it on American newspaper or was
No, it's just internet.
You saw the internet?
Internet news and yes.
I think that's something that should be highlighted.
In the U.S. news?
In the U.S. news, because
I think it will be if it's passed. Like, once it's passed, I'm sure CNN or Times will cover that because it's the
huge
first
Asian country.
Yes.
And it's a topic that's controversial here already. And so if there's, you know, another country that's already doing that as well,
right.
I think that's something that deserves some spotlight.
Right. Something on the side I would like to just bring out a little bit, because like the first in Asia, the same-sex marriage thing, is Taiwan has a female president right now.
Oh.
Yes. So the first one is South Korea in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taiwan also is having a female president right now. So something I just want to bring up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like the election, the competition that was going on between
last year.
Yep. The most recent election.
Right, right, right.
In the US.
There's a female candidate and a male candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. Between those two, that was another huge, you know, gender role kind of fight and push and pull. I mean, if it was just male and male, that wouldn't have been, you know,
that wouldn't be even a topic to talk about.
But then because there was the gender involved, that it was a different gender.
Yes.
Then it was something that was highlighted. Oh, this might be, you know, not just another president, but, you know, historical moment.
Right. Because U.S. has never had any female presidents.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Never. And that's the thing. It's the fact that even in an American Western culture, and even in Chinese culture, anywhere, the fact that when a woman is able to achieve something bigger,
then it will be a big news.
Yeah, big news everywhere. You see it on your phone, you see it in the bathroom, you see it everywhere. And it's crazy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think the takeaway from, you know, gender norms in Chinese culture and also Western culture is that it's still an ongoing, it is a battle. It's definitely not a smooth sailing.
Right.
But it is something that is moving forward.
Right.
You know, and there's still the bumps, ups and downs. But I believe, like with Taiwan, that's a triumph.
Right. I think everything will be more smooth in the future, but it's just a start.
Yeah. Even if it passes, I don't think it will be easy.
Right.
Even after then.
Right.
Yeah.
So today we have a takeaway for our audience family is, how does your culture affect your view on gender equality? Does it have any effect?
Interesting. Yes.
And thank you very much for joining us, Fortune Cookie, today. And please follow us on Facebook via the link on our page.
Yes, and episodes will release every Sunday, so stay tuned.
And remember to love,
respect,
and thrive. We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye-bye.